The radio broadcast portion of today's UCC Church worship service is given anonymously by a faithful radio listener.
And it is indeed that God so loved the world that we hear this day from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is good, true, come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the word of the Lord. May God add God's blessing to it. Will you pray with me? Pray that the words that I speak are faithful to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If that which you hear is that which the Spirit intends for your ears this day, let us pray. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Often when we fall in love, there's one thing or another we wish we could change about the one we've fallen in love with. Of course, that doesn't work. Okay, maybe we convince them to put the cap back on the toothpaste for a time, or to give up swearing for a time. However, when someone changes only because we insist on it, they change back to their old ways in time. On the other hand, when we have fallen in love with someone and we choose to change our ways because we love them, more often than not, that change sticks. Because we love deeply, we want to do that which is pleasing to the other, not because they demand it, but because we love them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus came in the world, came into that world filled with love, God's love, a love that enabled him to risk his life repeatedly because of his love for God and for the sake of his followers. Early on in this gospel, Jesus turns over the tables of the money changers and drives out the animals being sold for sacrifice, announcing, "Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." You can imagine how popular that made him with the Jewish leaders. And then when he healed on the Sabbath, those same Jewish leaders began to persecute him. As a good shepherd, Jesus said he would lay down his life for his sheep. He returned to Bethany to raise his friend Lazarus from the dead, knowing that the Jewish leadership was plotting to kill him nearby in Jerusalem. No greater life has anyone than to lay down their lives for another. From the beginning of his ministry, according to the Gospel of John, Jesus knew and was willing to be lifted up on the cross and through the cross ascend to his Father in heaven. In the Gospel of John, that is all one act. Crucifixion on the cross immediately leads to ascension to the Father. Because of the love of God enacted in the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, the world is saved. Jesus does not insist that the world change its ways in order to be loved and saved. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He came to have a relationship with the world. He came so that the world might know that they are loved. He came so that you and me might know that we are loved. We are loved just as we are, sinners and saints. Sunday school teachers and parents are right. The first thing our children must learn is Jesus loves me. This I know. It's also right and good that Mildred Lawson requested as her casket left the sanctuary that again we hear and sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Those who display banners saying John 3:16 at the various sports events and other venues have it right. We all need to know that God so loved the world. However, one-sided love is not enough. We know that in our human relationship, human love that is not returned is an incomplete love. Relationships are harder when love is not reciprocal. It has to go both ways. The eternal life that is promised becomes our reality when we love Jesus as he has loved us. Eternal life with Jesus begins on earth as we choose to be in relationship with Jesus. When we choose not to be in relationship with Jesus, we are condemned. I'm not convinced that this condemnation is a condemnation to hell after death. I believe our condemnation is here on earth, even as our eternal life begins on earth through our relationship with Jesus. You know, I think that when we're not in relationship with Jesus, we are missing out on something so great that it is ourselves that we condemn. Condemnation is not a choice God makes, but the choice followers of Jesus make. The choice we make when we choose not to fully love Jesus. When we love someone, we choose to make changes for him or her, not because we have to, but because we choose to. When we love Jesus, we choose to change our ways. We choose to acknowledge our sin and repent, to change our hearts and lives. Loving God means changing our ways. I think it might be easier for those who've sinned greatly to know their sin and change. I just wonder about that. Those of us who've long been followers of Jesus, doing our best, may not be aware of our sin or our need to repent. We may continue to do what we've always done, unaware that which we have always done stands in the way of a fuller relationship with God. We continue to love the darkness because we think we know the light. We forget the light of God shines on our sin as much as it does on those we might name as greater sinners. Just because we honor the Sabbath, or do not kill, or do not commit adultery, does not mean we do not sin. Some of us are stubborn in a way that separates us from God and one another. Some of us take hold of a bone and we refuse to let it go. Some of us see sin in our neighbor and we condemn them with our gossip or judgment. Some of us hold on to our fear, our anxiety, refusing to fully trust God. Some of us hold on to our prejudice and privilege, unwilling to extend the hand of Christian love. We are guilty of deeds that are evil, hiding those deeds even from ourselves in the darkness. Yet the light of God shines and exposes what we try to hide. God sees, and our neighbors also see the sin we deny or refuse to acknowledge. I'm smiling because when I was getting ready to go to seminary, I was listening with different ears to the pastor's sermons. And when I did that, I would say, oh, he's talking to so-and-so today. Because I knew the congregation fairly well. And I thought, you know, that Pastor Boldman's talking to them. Now, in the afternoon, you know, hey, I was going to seminary, so I kept on thinking about the sermon. Maybe you do that, too. In the afternoon, I went, oops, he was talking to me. What do you know? So it's so easy to see somebody else's sin, but not to see our own. Guilty as everybody else. Love changes things. Loved by God, we choose to change even what we have tried to hide in the darkness. Loved by God, we come to the light of Christ that shines in our darkness. We come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that our deeds are done in God. For sure. It is true. It is not to be doubted. God so loves the world. Absolutely. Jesus loves us. This we know. However, love changes things. Love changes us. May we come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that our deeds are done in God. Amen. Come to a time of prayer. Let us be at prayer. Let us take a moment of quiet. Breathe in the breath of God. To feel God's presence among us, loving us dearly. Let us acknowledge God's love for us. Let us give thanks for the blessings we have. Family, health, friends, a home. Sometimes even peace. Let us give thanks for the life we enjoy. Not through our own doing, but through God's gift to us. O God, our God, we thank you for all you give to us. We praise you for the love that you bestow upon us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for his faithfulness. This day, O God, we acknowledge that we are not always faithful, and we acknowledge that we are a people in need of forgiveness and repentance. Holy One, open our eyes to the places in our lives and in the world where we are not true to you. Help us to change our ways. God, be with the leaders of nations so that their ways, their leadership, might also change the way the world sees each other. O God, our God, show us the ways to peace in the world as well as in our own lives. Gracious God, we pray that you are with all who grieve. You are with all who need the healing powers of doctors and medication and medicines, and who need the love and healing presence of Jesus Christ in their lives. Help us to pray for one another. Gracious God, we pray that you are with all in need of a hand up in our own community and in the world. Open our eyes what we can do to serve you faithfully. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Let us respond to God's goodness with the giving of our gifts. gracious God, we give you thanks for all the gifts that have been given this day, those laid upon the altar, those given in our hearts, those promises and commitments we've made to serve you in the church and in the world. Receive what we bring, multiply it, and let your kingdom come to be on earth as it is in heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This table is open to all who confess Jesus as the Christ and seek to follow Christ's way. Come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Come not because you are fulfilled, but because in your emptiness you stand in need of God's mercy and assurance. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek a presence, to pray for a spirit. Come to this table then, sisters and brothers, as you are. Partake and share. It is spread for you and for me that we might know again that God has come to us, shared our common lot, and invited us to join the people of God's new age. God be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to God Most High. Holy God, we praise and bless you for creation and the gift of life, and for your abiding love, which brings us close to you, the source of all blessings. We thank you for revealing your will for us in the giving of the law and in the preaching of the prophets. We thank you especially that in the fullness of time you sent Jesus, born of Mary, to live in our midst and to share in our suffering, to accept the pain of death at the hands of those whom Jesus loved. We rejoice in the perfect victory over the grave, that there you raised Christ with power to become sovereign in your realm. We celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to gather your church by which your work may be done in the world and through which we share the gift of eternal life. With the faithful in every place and time, we praise with joy your holy name, saying, Holy, holy, holy God, my love and majesty, the whole universe speaks of your glory, O God Most High. We remember that on the night of betrayal and desertion, Jesus took the bread, gave you thanks, and broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. Consecrate, therefore, by your Holy Spirit these gifts of bread and the fruit of the vine, and bless us that as we receive them at this table, we may offer you our faith and praise, that we may be united with Christ and with one another, and that we may continue faithful in all together in the Spirit gives us. We offer ourselves to you, eternal God, and give thanks that you have called us to serve you. Amen. The bread which we break is the body of Christ. The cup which we pour is the cup of blessing through which we participate in the life that Christ gives. Let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Come, for all things are now ready. This is the feast of God. for the people of God. We will first serve the deacons and their helpers. And Reese and Iris, okay, there, you're hiding. And then we will serve the choir, and then we will serve the congregation. I also remind you that we have bread and gluten-free wafers for any who need that, and that we have both wine and grape juice. Ask the servers which is which.